We're not going to do a song before the lesson. I'd like to make an introduction of our speakers as well as what we're doing. Chris and I hatched this fall series ending on a high note. All of these lessons are designed for us to be able to start 2015 and have the best year of our Christian lives. The elders said it was okay to ask a few of the men if they would be interested in doing some of the lessons. We've had Daniel Cochran do one, did a fantastic job. We've got our three guys tonight. Sam is preaching next week, and in a couple of weeks we have Daniel Cochran. And I've already kind of seen his outline, and let me tell you, it's going to be good. But tonight we have Cade, Michael, and Garrett. They're going to be taking the lesson of knowing what is good and loving what is good. They're each going to take a point. So our lesson, we have Cade doing the point of knowing what is good, Michael doing the point of love what is good, and Garrett is going to tie up the lesson with the culmination of knowing and loving what is good. All right, guys. Cade, preach the word.
Good evening. I'm going to start off by saying that I have very good parents. Excellent parents. My parents not only let me know what they don't expect of me, they let me know what they do expect of me. If I do what's good, then I can know that I'll be pleasing to them. If I do what's bad, then I understand that there will be negative consequences. Consequences that Joanna has received far, far more often than me. How much more important is it that we can know that God provides goodness? If you will, please turn your Bibles to James 4:17. It says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." For this verse to be applicable, we have to be able to know what is good. Now please, if you will, turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." We have what we need to find goodness, and it's within the pages of our Bible. Amen. Philippians 2, 1 and 2, if you would turn there, says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." In Acts 2:42, we see that the first century Christians continue to follow the teachings of the apostles. In this passage, we see Paul tell the Philippians to do the same thing. There's a standard made known and a goodness that will go along with it. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, 4-6, and see how many ones we can count. "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Sure seems like a lot of ones. Paul must have meant for the Ephesians and for Christians everywhere to be obedient to God the Father. For there to be a requirement of obedience, and to do so in a very similar way, holding to the same pattern, there must be a reward for that obedience, and that reward is heaven. But how do we choose? We have a choice to make with the good we know. Please turn to Romans 7:18. In Romans 7:18, it says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry out." Paul is being candid here in the difficulty of making the right choice. Those who have surpassed the age of accountability all know how hard this struggle can be. We have to be in constant reminder of who we serve to continue to do what is right. In Luke 12:47, it says, "And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating." Jesus is explaining a parable to his disciples here. If you don't do the master's will, you'll be punished. We have a God that has provided us so much good, we should strive to be obedient to his plan and enjoy the fruits of living and doing good. Much has been given to us, so much is expected. What does goodness do? Let's turn to Colossians 1:13 and see what Paul has to say. "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." God's goodness allows us to step out of the darkness of sin and into the light. So let's turn to the Old Testament, to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. It says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Nothing can separate us from his goodness. We may be physically hurt, but nothing can separate us spiritually from our loving God, because he will spiritually shield those who trust in him." To tie up my point, since we have such a good and loving God, He provides knowledge of His goodness, allows us to make a choice to do that good, and we can understand the positive consequences of doing what is good.
Good evening. My portion of tonight's lesson is going to be about loving what is good. And my question that I would like to start off with is, do you love God? And you can answer this in your heads, but I hope your answer is yes. If you have answered yes, do our lives actually match up with our proclamation of our love for God? As Kate has excellently pointed out, we can know what is good. In my portion of tonight's lesson, we are going to be looking at loving what is good. For us to have a proper heart in our Christian walk, we must love the life of Christianity, a life full of good. My first point tonight is going to be about our spiritual battle, and will be in Galatians 5:17. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." What it means is you can't really do what you want to do because God has set a standard for us. That standard being the pattern of goodness versus the pattern of the flesh. We must choose to love the pattern established. We find a cycle in studying, and studying and applying God's Word, and the more we study, the more we can know God's love for us. And if you would turn to Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." We have to make a choice to think about the right way. What lies ahead for the life of Christianity? An eternity with true goodness, that being God. My next point is about physical description of our spiritual walk, and we will be in Psalms 119, verse 105, if you would turn there with me. This psalm says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." People fear losing their eyesight, or any sense for that matter. And I love seeing where I'm going physically, and I should love seeing where I'm going spiritually as well. Our next point is going to be in Matthew 4:4, and I'll continue on this. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is the same with seeing, but for food." And in Job 23:12, it says, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food." Job is defending himself by declaring his love for what is good. So the question is, how do I love what is good? In Psalm 119:10-11, it says, "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." The psalmist sought God with all of his heart. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." We can do this through studying. And as Cade pointed out, our parents have set up rules for us that we have to obey. And if we don't follow these rules, there will be consequences. Consequences that Joanne has received far more times than I have. And in Psalm 19:9-11, the psalmist writes, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than they are gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward." The judgments of God are true and righteous. In keeping them, we find the best reward there is. My conclusion of my portion is, we have a spiritual battle on a daily basis. And just having the knowledge of what God says won't get us anywhere. But how do we know what is good? And we get to know what is good by reading the scriptures and knowing God, because God is good. We have to study His word, and the more we study, the more we will love. A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't.
You know, some things just really go good together. Like peanut butter and jelly. Or white girls and Starbucks. But some things have to have each other to be truly good for us. What happens if you ingest sodium? Well, you might likely spontaneously combust. Or what happens if you consume chlorine? Well, you're most likely going to end up poisoned. But when you mix those two things together, they form salt. And that can be used to preserve our food. To find the consistency that God would have us to have, we can't have blind, long-lasting love without knowledge. And we can't have knowledge and use it effectively without love. There are many different reasons that new converts, as well as seasoned Christians, becoming disenchanted with Christianity. Usually the reason can be pinpointed back to a lack of love for God's Word, or a lack of study of God's Word to continue to understand it. The Bereans were an excellent example of this. Not only did they yearn for knowledge, but they did so with much enthusiasm. If you would, turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Ezra, as Brother JJ preached last week, held fast to the word. He purposed in his heart to learn. He sought God's word, not just any book. He read it and applied it, and then he proceeded to teach others. If you would, turn with me to Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Ezra tied love and knowledge together to lead others to God's law of the time. Now, if you would, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Philippians 1 and verse 9. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Paul understood that love and knowledge went together. And finally, if you will, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. It says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." In conclusion, for us to be complete Christians, we need to have a love for the knowledge that we gain, a love that will equal application, and a love that will start the cycle that Michael spoke of earlier. And if we truly love God, then we're going to follow His word, which in turn would lead to us obeying the gospel and becoming Christians. And if you have not obeyed the gospel and you're here this evening, it's very simple. You need to hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 3:16. You need to repent of your past sins, as we see in Luke 13 and verse 3. You need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10:9-10. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, Mark 16:16. And then remain faithful unto death so that you may receive a crown of life, as we see in Revelation 2 and verse 10. If you have any need this evening, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.